I can have your attention here in the media center, we are now joined by our race-winning team. We have crew chief Jason Ratcliffe with the number 20 Ream Toyota and our race-winning driver, Christopher Bell, who took home the checkered flag tonight with his second victory of 2018 and his third victory overall in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. We're going to open the floor up for questions. We're going to start with Gary, and we'll work our way around.
Gary Graves, Associated Press. Christopher, congratulations, and I guess you couldn't have done it any better starting from the back and winning the race and making that pass. What was going through your mind, I guess, first with the beginning, and what was your approach as you made it through the race?
Well, at these style racetracks with the repaves and really narrow like it is, the air is so important. And yesterday in practice, our car was really good, and I felt like we had a car capable of competing for the win. And then I made that mistake in qualifying, and I kept telling myself that if my car's not driving good at the beginning of the race, don't freak out. And then whenever we started, I was really loose, and I was really nervous because I felt like once we got in clean air, I was just going to go looser. But, Jason does an awesome job, and our entire Ream team does an excellent job at executing. And by the time we got up to the front, we were driving as good as anybody and had a car that was able to compete for the win.
Additional questions here? Go to Chris.
Yeah, Chris, NineCatchWins.com. Christopher told a small group of reporters us last weekend that you had to be the man in the Xfinity Series competition. Is this how you start to do that and leave that legacy?
We're gaining on it. We're one win closer. So I just got to keep digging, man. Two wins is not a successful year for us. We need to continue to win and just win more races. So we go to the racetrack every single week with a shot to win, and for the most part, we start the race with a shot to win every week. So it's just a matter of me capitalizing on Joe Gibbs Racing's fast race cars and my smart crew chief over here and try to minimize my mistakes and hopefully be there at the end.
Jason, how challenging was it to set up the car tonight to put it in victory lane?
We started the weekend a little bit off. We made a lot of changes. The guys did a good job of, adjusting between the first and second practice yesterday. I felt like off the truck we were probably, sixth or seventh place car. But by the end of the second practice, as Christopher said, I felt like we had a car that was capable of winning. But like we saw tonight, there was probably, four, five, six cars that in the right position. But when you can start at the back, you don't want to make a habit of that, but when you can and drive to the front the way he did, and then even more setbacks throughout the race that put him outside the top five, and he just continued to, fight his way up to the top five and eventually, to the front. That's the way you want to win them. They're very rewarding. It's a great weekend for us, and as he said, we just got to keep that up, and hopefully we can keep doing it until we get to Homestead.
Additional questions here from the floor? Go to Steven.
Steve Connolly, WQIO Radio. Christopher, throughout the afternoon and evening, we saw it happen last night in the truck race that the groove expanded just a little bit. Did you see that throughout the night? Because obviously you had to work your way from the back, and you made a lot of decent passes to make your way to the front. Did that expand any, or were you pretty much locked at the bottom all night?
No, the fast groove never moved, and I don't foresee that happening for a long time to come. But, I'd say the groove maybe widened out a little bit. We got to the point where we could drive around lap cars fairly confidently, at least in one and two. So that was a positive. But the fast groove for now, next year, probably several more years, is going to be right on the yellow line. So the racing groove didn't really widen out, but the track got to where you could run the second groove to pass slower cars.
Eric Young with the SuperSpeedway.com. Christopher, you said two wins isn't a successful season for you guys, and you need to capitalize on everything going forward. What do you need to do to take that next step to make sure that you're a championship contender at the end?
Well, the guy beside me is doing his job. Everyone in the garage area is doing their job. So I just got to execute my job a little bit better, and we'll be right there. So like I said, we, for the most part, we start the race every single weekend with a shot to win. And that's everything you can ask for as a race car driver. So I'm just proud and fortunate and lucky and blessed to be driving for the coach and to have this guy as my crew chief. I couldn't be in a better position. I just need to go out there and do my job and win races.
Come back up front, Gary.
Yeah. Christopher, if you could just talk about your patience when you have that kind of mishap in qualifying and, you've got adversity to overcome. I mean, how patient did you stay during that whole process?
Well, it's honestly, it's a mindset. You just have to tell yourself going into it and then continue to tell yourself half lap in, a lap in, 5 laps in, 10 laps in, that it's a 200-lap race. I think at the end of the first stage, we were like 14th. And then at the end of the second stage, we were 7th or 8th. And by that time, I was getting kind of impatient. And then next thing you know, I look at the board, and I think we're only on lap 92 or 93, and we still have over half the race to go. So it's just a mindset. And it's a matter of not putting yourself in bad positions and letting your crew chief make calls to get you up front and your pit crew to do their job too. And that's something that's unique about NASCAR racing is, I don't have to pass all the cars. My pit crew can gain me spots. You can get circumstantial restarts where you're in the right line and you can get spots. So, it's not all on my shoulders. And thankfully I've got a great group of guys that bail me out sometimes.
Go next to Steven, then to Lee, then back to Chris.
Jason, after this morning's incident, spinning out and qualifying, the setup on the car, changes that you may have had to make, do you just take the notebook and basically throw it out and make wholesale changes on the car for a night like this? And then what do you take from a day where you've had to race through the pack that you can use throughout the rest of the season from a place like Kentucky?
Well, I think for us, we're always building on communication. And a perfect example is in qualifying. I mean, I think Christopher's being hard on himself. I just over-adjusted the car, honestly. But the good thing about it was we wanted to sit on the pole. We weren't going out there and trying to run second. So that's good. We got to keep doing that. But, I think our communication continues to get better. I over-adjusted the car in the last stage of qualifying and got it too free. But no, I mean, the car was fast. We didn't do anything different, starting in the back than we did starting in the front. He did a nice job of working his way into the top 20 really quick. And then we took a big swing at it on the first pit stop to try to get, the car under him, the rear end underneath him, excuse me. And from that point, we had good track position. So it was just a matter of tweaking on it to the end. No, I think Kentucky's unique right now. In the past, you could, but until the track gets a few more years on it, and really, it's not the racetrack; it's the tire that we have to run here. With these repaves, the speeds. I mean, we saw tonight. The more it cooled down, the closer we got to the end of the race, the speeds just kept picking up. I mean, every time we put tires on it, it seemed like they would go out and run 2 or 3 tenths quicker. Well, Goodyear has to build a tire for that, that's durable so these guys can go out there and race it for a fuel run. And until we get to the point where the track slows down and it doesn't have as much grip and Goodyear can bring a tire like we race it, Homestead, Chicago, Charlotte, then I think you'll be able to take some things from Kentucky and apply it to other racetracks.
B.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. Ratcliffe, is he too hard on himself? I mean, he's always apologizing for his mistakes, but, I mean, he's a rookie, and sometimes he forgets that because he races so much all the rest of the time.
Well, he's got high expectations, and, I like that about him. That's what's going to, keep him up front, keep him, working hard. And he's hard on himself, but at the same time, he enjoys his victories. He's hard on himself about qualifying, but then tonight, to see him get out of the car in victory lane and smiling and really pleased with himself and what he did all day. So he's got a good balance. I think he pushes himself hard, which is, to me, the sign of a champion, and I think we'll see that in years to come. So I like that. But we every now and then we have to say, hey, man, don't beat yourself up. Again, qualifying, that was probably as much my fault as it was his, but we'll learn from it. Did a good job of keeping it off the fence, and we'll keep digging.
He is refreshingly humble. But why do you think Kyle was, trying to think of what word I wanted to use, I guess vulnerable, because it's not often that you get by him, that Nemechek gets by him, that Hemric, Allgaier were all able to pass the 18 tonight. That was kind of bizarre for both of you, actually, because I guess, Jason, you can look at it from maybe the decision to pit. You know, maybe the tires just weren't worth it. And, you know, Bell, I'd be interested in what you saw in Kyle that made you know that you could pass him.
Well, I think, you know, something that maybe Christopher didn't see was somewhere along the lines, and I didn't even see it either. The spotter told me he got in the fence, and I don't know if it was a racing incident with a lap car or he was racing someone. And I think that hurt him a little bit. And the guys worked on that, and I think he got in the fence again. So if I'm not mistaken, he got in the wall twice, and we know what that does to a race car. And I feel like that's what got him behind on that one run, and they were forced to pit. I mean, at that point, he wasn't going to win, so they had to come down pit road and work on it. But, yeah.
I guess it shows he's human, and race cars matter at some point, right? But I don't know. Whenever Kyle was leading there, back whenever I was buried, I think it was maybe the second stage, the 42 passed him and won. That caught me off guard, and I'm sure it caught a lot of people off guard too. But then at the third stage there, whenever I was following him, he wasn't just flat-out dominant. I was following him pretty easy and felt like I was riding and kind of taking care of my stuff. So I didn't know if he was at that point, but he had a lot of issues there. You know, he was kind of fell off there that run, and whenever he pitted for tires, I kind of wrote him off. You know, I didn't think we'd see him again, and I was wondering what his reasoning was. Well, I knew he was pitting because he knew he couldn't win the race, but I didn't think he'd be able to get up there. And the next thing you know, he's pushing me around there and on newer tires than me. So that caught my attention again.
Chris?
Yeah, and for Jason and Christopher, is it too soon to start thinking about Homestead, or is it something that needs to be on the forefront?
No, I mean, we were thinking about Homestead in February or you know, December. Yeah, I mean, that's where you're going to win it, but you have to get there. You know, one step at a time. We went into the season with high expectations but realistic goals, and I think we're meeting them, yes. You know, we'd like to have four or five wins under our belt. Everybody would. But we're, you know, as Christopher said earlier, we're out there every week competing, and that's what we need to do. You know, if we're fortunate enough to get to Homestead, then we just need to be competitive and execute. And I think we're learning a lot of lessons right now as a race team that's going to be beneficial in Homestead.
Yeah, what he said, pretty much in January we went and tested at Atlanta, and for me that was an excellent test because Atlanta surface is a lot like Homestead. And then the good thing for me is I feel like two of my best races this year have come at Atlanta and Chicago, and they're both, you know, Homestead-style racetracks, and that's, you know, seems to be more my forte than tonight, and I still won tonight, so that's pretty cool too. But I just love the low-grip, slip and slide racetracks, and so I've been thinking about Homestead since I left Homestead last year.
Well, gentlemen, congratulations on the win tonight, and good luck.